Lead us, our Heavenly Father, as we open thy word to study. May thy will be done. May the word of God have right of way today as it pierces into the heart and the very innermost being of those who listen today. May those who are unsaved repent and believe and be born again. May Christians be strengthened in the inner man. Thank you, Father. The word of God is sharp, quick, sharp, and it does pierce asunder soul and spirit, bone and marrow. So today, may thy word cut deeply as it is proclaimed, as the Spirit directs me. And I beg for the direction of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation 2:7. I read the verse on yesterday, but I read it again today, and we discuss it. And if we finish, we'll move on in the next verse, that is the message to Smyrna. Now, in verse 7 of Revelation 2, we have these words, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, there are difference, well, I should say there is a difference of opinion about this verse in the minds and the messages of men who have studied much longer than I have. They do not agree. All great scholars, and I do not classify myself as a scholar, heaven knows I do not, but I am a minister of the gospel, ordained of God, and I try as best I can to yield to the Holy Spirit to direct me. Now, if I do not yield, it's because I do not understand fully how to fully yield all soul, spirit, and body. If I know my heart, if I'm in my right mind, I would not misinterpret or wrongly divide the word of God. I wouldn't do it for all the world, because I'll give an account to God for every message I bring on radio. But I say great men disagree. Great men, great scholars, great preachers, and great teachers do not agree fully on the meaning of this statement, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, the tree of life is first mentioned in Genesis. In the Garden of Eden, God put every tree that was beautiful to the eyes, good for food. Then he put in the garden the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life was there. Now, in the midst of the garden, we had the tree of life. Now, God said to Adam and Eve, "Eat freely of all the trees except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." He did not forbid them to eat of the tree of life when he placed them in the garden. Now, when he drove them out, the Bible clearly tells us that he drove Adam and Eve from the garden lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever. That is, in their bodies that had been tainted by sin. They had fallen from innocence into the state of conscience, and they knew they were naked. And so God drove them from the garden lest they eat of the tree of life and live forever in that particular body. Now, the tree of life is mentioned, of course, here. And I personally believe it's the same tree. I do not believe God destroyed it. I believe God has kept it. Now, I do not know what happened to the Garden of Eden when God drove Adam and Eve out. How long he allowed it to remain as it was, I do not know. The Bible does not tell us. But I believe that God preserved the tree of life, and I believe God has it in heaven today. Now, you don't have to believe that. I didn't say that you must believe that, but I tell you what you must believe. You must believe the virgin birth, the shed blood, the resurrection. You must believe that if you want to go to heaven. But you do not, it's not necessary for you to believe what I've just said, that I believe the tree of life is in heaven. I believe God has taken care of it. I believe the blood of Jesus is there. I believe God has preserved the blood. I believe the blood of Jesus is incorruptible. I believe that. Yeah, I say I believe this. Now, I believe the tree of life is there, and I believe that God will plant again, right here upon this earth, the paradise of God. I believe this earth will become one giant Garden of Eden. All right. Now, notice this. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, beloved, this message is to the churches, the message that we have in chapters 2 and 3. The message is to the seven churches in Asia Minor. Now, there were more churches there, but to the seven named here. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that to say that I believe this refers to individual believers, born-again believers in the New Testament church. Now, I believe that we will be granted the privilege to eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Now, we find that tree planted in Revelation chapter 21. We find the river of life, and we find the tree of life, and it bears 12 kinds of fruit, and it yields a harvest every month. Now, I do not believe it will be necessary for born-again believers who are members of the New Testament church and who will have a body just like Jesus had after his resurrection, his glorious body, his resurrection body. We'll have a body just like his resurrection body. I do not believe it will be necessary for us to eat, but I believe we will be permitted if we desire to eat of the tree of life and also other fruits that will be there in the paradise of God. I believe that. Now, it's not necessary for you to believe that. That doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. It has to do with your joy. And it gives me a great thrill to think that I will be permitted to sit down with my family, my friends, and the millions that I have never met, sit down from time to time by the river of life and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Now, I said, I believe that. To him that overcometh will I give to eat. Well, now, who will overcome? Now, this may shock some of you. This may shock some of you. But if you want to know who will overcome, the only place to find the answer is in the Word of God, because you can't get preachers to agree on these things. I mean, all fundamental ministers agree on the blood, the virgin birth, yes. The resurrection, yes. We all agree on that. But all ministers do not agree on other things that have to do with Christian living. Now, if you want to know who will overcome, I can give you the answer from 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, every born again, blood washed, redeemed child of God is an overcomer. Now, we may be temporarily defeated. I mean by that, we may, as Peter backslid. Yes, he did. He grievously backslid. He cursed and he said, I don't even know Jesus. But Jesus looked at him. And Jesus looks at us. Now, wait a minute now. Not as he did, that is, face to face. I mean, Peter saw his face, literally. God looks at us, Jesus looks at us, and we see him in the Word. When we backslide as a born-again believer, and we hear the Word of God in the church, on the radio, read it, in a booklet or a tract or in the Word of God, in the Bible, when we read the Word of God and we have backslidden, the Word of God will show us and convict us and move us. And if we're genuinely born again, we'll repent as Peter repented. And many times it will be with bitter tears, Peter wept and repented of his backsliding. Now then, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome. Not will overcome, but you've already. Well, now you say that's fatalism. No, that's Bible doctrine, beloved. That's not fatalism. That is Bible doctrine that I'm preaching. Bible doctrine. Born again, blood washed believers who are partakers of divine nature and sealed by the Holy Spirit overcome. Whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now that's in 1 John 5:4. I read 1 John 4:4. Now here is 1 John 5:4. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We are saved by faith, we live by faith, our works we do by faith, and we overcome by faith. And we will be in that paradise of God by faith, because the redemption that gives to us the right to enter into the celestial city, the redemption that we possess, comes only by faith. All right, now back to the verse in Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, if you're born again, if you have within you divine nature, and born again persons do possess divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4, we are made partakers of divine nature. We are made partakers of divine nature. And we become a partaker of God in the person of the Holy Spirit. He that hath not the Spirit is none of his. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. Except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter. So, if you're born again, you are a possessor of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and guide you, and he does seal you until the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30, sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Now, if you have an ear, and if you're born again, you have an ear to hear. So hear. And when God speaks to you through his word, as his minister proclaims the word in your church, and if you do not belong to a church that preaches the word of God, that's not God's fault. Because if you're in a liberal church, God has attempted to lead you out, and you can't deny. You don't need to write to me and ask me whether you should leave a liberal church or not. If the man to whom you listen on Sunday morning denies the blood, denies the virgin birth, denies the verbal inspiration of the Bible, denies the bodily resurrection, denies the second coming, if the minister to whom you listen on Sunday morning or Sunday night or any other day, if he denies the word of God, you know he's a liberal. And you don't need to write to me and ask me if you should move your membership or come out of the church. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, he has already told you, and you will not obey. Now you'll suffer loss. You'll suffer loss. If you support a liberal church, you'll lose your reward. That doesn't mean you'll lose your soul. Your soul is not saved by works. Your spirit is not born into the family of God by works. You're born of the Spirit by faith in the shed blood of Jesus. But if you support a liberal church, a liberal minister, a liberal evangelist, a liberal missionary, you'll lose your reward. And I warn you. So if you have an ear, then let the Spirit whisper softly and tenderly to you, the still small voice you can hear if you will listen. And the Holy Spirit, as God's word is proclaimed, will lead you and guide you what you should do as a born-again child of God. And to the overcomer, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, the paradise of God is mentioned in the Bible three times. In Luke 23:43, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, "Today." Now, of course, the thief had already prayed, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Today, we're going to paradise. Now, that's in Luke 23:43. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 4, Paul said, "He knew a man caught up into paradise, and he heard words that are not lawful to utter." And then, of course, here, Revelation 2:7, we have the paradise of God. Now, those three times in the New Testament, we find the paradise of God mentioned. And that paradise, I believe, as I said before, I believe, will be this entire earth after the church is raptured and the Antichrist and the beast and the false prophet is dealt with, the devil is placed into the pit and the lake of fire, eventually in the lake of fire, where he will be eternally destroyed. I believe this earth will be one giant paradise. Now, if you're born again, if you're covered by the blood, you are invited to eat of that fruit. Hallelujah. If you're not born again, you can be right now. Father, convict, convince, and convert. Save. May those who are not born again be born again this moment. Encourage believers in Jesus' name.